Before the age of computers and vinyl printers, sign painters worked by hand to illustrate storefronts, billboards, and banners. Local craftsmen also often developed a signature style that could distinguish a neighborhood, even a city. Technology made signs less expensive and less expressive.
But how many people dropped down the brush and got a machine is astounding to me. I mean, hundreds of sign painters just threw in the towel. Like, had been lettering signs for years and said, well, we got this plotter, and it's faster, and there's more money in it, and might as well. How do you walk away from your craft like that, you know? I can't wrap my brain around it at all.
That's Norma Jean Maloney, one of the few who still hand-paint signs. She's featured in a documentary and a book about her endangered art. What's the sign in your neighborhood that defines your town? 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Norma Jean Maloney joins us now. She's the proprietor of Red Rider Studios, and she's with us from her studio in Austin, Texas. Good to have you on Talk of the Nation today.
It's good to be here.
You describe a moment when you moved from San Francisco to Nashville and nobody there knew your work. Tell us what happened when you made an offer to a bar owner.
Well, basically, I wanted to get my foot in the door in Nashville, so I told her I would paint a sign for free if she'd let me do it, because I knew once I was on the ladder, I'd probably drum up some business.
And did it work out?
It sure did. I got 6 jobs that day.
So people just saw you doing it and said, wait a minute, that looks good to me.
Absolutely, absolutely. There weren't any real sign painters in Nashville, and there was a lot of old, faded stuff on the street on Lower Broadway, and I didn't know anyone did this anymore, and so I handed out my cards, and I basically painted Lower Broadway.
But those owners of businesses must have known that the computerized vinyl is cheaper and faster.
Absolutely, they did. But, you know, I didn't make a lot of money in Nashville, but I did paint a lot of signs.
And is that its own reward?
Absolutely, absolutely. I wouldn't do anything else, regardless of what the pay is.
And I know you say when you go back to San Francisco, some of your signs are still there.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. And that's quite a treat. It's like having canvases all over town of your art.
How did you get into this business?
Well, I was 18 years old, and somebody asked me to repaint some lettering on a window, and I said I'd be happy to do it. They said, you're good at art. And I was using the wrong paint and the wrong brush, and this guy came up on a bicycle. He had a long beard, and he said, are you a sign painter? And I said, no, and I don't want to be, because it was a horrifying experience. He said, I'll be right back, and in about 20 minutes, he came back, and he had some one-shot sign paint and a lettering quill, and loaded it up for me and said, try this, honey. And it was the gates of heaven opened up, and it was a whole different experience. And he was just riding away. And I was like, thanks, stranger.
Who was that masked man?
I have no idea. I'd like to thank him, though. It changed my life.
I'm sure you've had your share of disasters, though.
I absolutely have.
Like?
Well, it's always nice when you fall off a ladder. It's really great when you put a pattern up and it takes you 2 hours and a big San Francisco wind comes and blows it down the street. Even more amusing is the painting a sign and flipping it over to paint the other side and painting it upside down and not realizing it until you've installed it at the client's location.
That might require a few extra hours of work.
Absolutely.
Now, you've worked as a sign painter, we mentioned, in San Francisco, Nashville, and now Austin. What are the differences in those places?
Well, Austin, like San Francisco, has a great aesthetic quality. People here really care what their storefronts look like. So it's similar to San Francisco, but the sign painting is kind of taking off and having a resurgence, basically, I think, based on this film and this book and kind of the revitalization that people are feeling about the craft.
Well, let's bring in one of the people who's worked on the book. They're both called sign painters. Sam Macon co-wrote and co-directed the documentary with Faith Levine, and he joins us now from member station WBEZ in Chicago. Nice to have you with us today.
It's great to be here. Thanks.
And this is one of those crafts that I guess I didn't realize it truly existed until I saw your book about it.
Well, and that's actually sort of the origin of the project in a lot of ways. Faith Levine, my co-director, we had collaborated on a number of projects in the past, all long, like shorter format, and we wanted to work on something longer. And she said, what about a documentary covering sign painting? And I said the same thing that people for the past 4.5 years have said to me since we started this whole thing. I said, what do you mean, sign painting?
What do you mean, yeah.
And just by asking that question, and myself being a relatively aesthetically minded person, I gravitate towards, you know, good signage or, the interesting looking cafe on the corner as opposed to the, you know, the chain. I was surprised that I had never really given any thought to the fact that this was someone's job. And that is, you know, the fact that individuals across America were painting signs sort of regionally, you know, really developed a lot of my aesthetic preferences and defined the way, you know, the United States looked.
There is so much expression, and I've seen some of your work in the book, Norma Jean Maloney. There's so much expression in what you do, and yet, in a way, you're invisible.
Invisible? I never thought of it like that. Yeah, I guess so.
Let's see if we get some callers in on the conversation. We're talking about sign painters. What's the sign that defines your town? 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. And Kathy's on the line with us from St. Charles in Missouri.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Oh, thank you. Actually, it's Crystal City, Missouri.
Oh, I apologize.
No, it's not your fault. Don't worry. First, let me say this is really an honor to be able to talk to you. And I'm devastated about the news about the program.
Well, thank you.
And but my dad was a sign painter all his life, and he always liked to say he started at age 13. He lettered, or he just drew his sister's name on one of her school books, and then everybody started wanting to have it. So that's what he did until just before he died, at 76.
Is there some of his work that's still around?
Oh, absolutely. And I was so enjoying listening to her talk about you go back to a city and you can see the work.
Mm-hmm.
I see my dad's work all over town. And people don't get the sides of their trucks and their store signs and all kinds of things relettered because they know they're not going to get the quality. And it just kind of goes on forever.
Hmm. Which of your dad's pieces that are still around, which is your favorite?
Oh, gosh. Well, he painted for Crystal City. We are on the Mississippi River. And for the entrance into town sign, he hand-painted this, the steamboat.
Mm-hmm.
And it was beautiful. And they let that go until almost you couldn't see it anymore. And then they had to take it down. But he did a huge tire in town for a tire company. And you could see it for a long way away. And everybody talked about it. So and people, there's a dump truck company that still has their name painted on the sides of their trucks that he did. And they don't want to change it.
Thanks very much for the phone call, Kathy. And thanks very much for the kind words, too.
Oh, no trouble at all.
Sam Macon, there are so many examples of great art like that, like Kathy's father did, these wonderful signs that are fading. And she's right. They'll never be replaced.
Well, we're hoping that they will be, and though they won't be replicated or replaced exactly the same, you know, we began the film not sure if we would be able to find enough people to, get the content that we needed. And then once we began, the word got out that we had begun, assembling this project, we were totally inundated in the best way of people giving us calls or emails just like that saying, my dad's a sign painter, my friend was a sign painter, my grandfather was a sign painter. And we ended up having more content than we could track down. And these were, living people, working sign painters that are still out there. So just because ultimately a sign that her father painted years and years ago may be fading into non-existence, when they need to replace it, they could connect with one of the, sign painters still at it, of which there are many, and them to replace it as opposed to, whipping something up at the local, fast signs.
Let's get Stephanie on the line. Stephanie's with us from Waverly in New York.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
It's just so timely because I jumped into my car to go buy more supplies for a project I'm working on right now, and here's the story on air, so I had to call.
You're a sign painter.
I don't do it as my primary employment, but it's something I'm always doing, and I don't think I could make a living off of it, unfortunately, but there's always people who need hand-painted work, which is you know, just my passion, and it's so fun to do.
And what are you working on today?
Today I'm doing a t-shirt design for a dirt bike racer, kind of a custom design, but I've mentioned to the screener my favorite project from recent times was an old scuba tank that my husband welded fins on the bottom and kind of made it look like an old World War II style bomb, and it's for a photographer friend of ours who does like pin-up style photo shoots. So this prop bomb needed some hand lettering, and of course you can't go to the vinyl cut sign computerized place and have it done. So he had me paint cherry bomb on the side of this bomb, and he plans to use it in his photo shoot.
Huh.
So, you know, I was very pleased to be able to provide something for another artist in his art form and then have my work be memorialized in whatever photo shoot that ends up being used in. So,
Norma Jean Maloney, I know it's not the only thing you're concerned about, but it must be difficult to make a living doing this.
Actually, no, I've been making a living at this for 25 years. There have been some years that were, as they say in Kentucky, gravy on a biscuit, and some years that were kind of lean, but I always have just, you know, stuck it out. But, yeah, I make a living at it, absolutely.
And do you have a lot of competition?
There aren't that many sign painters, and the sign painters that are here in Austin are my friends. I don't think we look at each other as competitors. It's more like a family. So if a job comes in that someone doesn't want to handle, they'll refer it to me, and I do likewise. So I enjoy that about the trade.
And Sam Macon, looking at your book, it does seem this is a, well, I was going to say fraternity, but obviously a sorority as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it really does. It's certainly when it was a very robust industry, lots of different people were sign painters, and that remains true today. And, whenever you set out on a project like this, you sort of have an idea that you're going to go out and define sign painters. And as we've shot more and more and met more interesting people, we realized that, you know, you can't define a sign painter any better than you could define what is a radio host.
Well, Stephanie, thanks very much for the phone call.
Thank you, guys. This is a great topic. Keep up the good work out there.
Thank you. And we'd like to give our thanks also to Norma Jean Maloney, the proprietor of Red Rider Studios in Austin, Texas. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you very much.
And Sam Macon, the co-director and co-author of Sign Painters, a book and documentary. He collaborated with Faith Levine. This film is screening in Milwaukee on May 16th, Chicago May 17th. And you can find a link to more information on the movie at our website. He joined us from member station WBEZ in Chicago. Thanks very much.
Thanks for having me. It was fun.
You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.